Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 48 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny here today with a high of 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In Western Iowa news, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Iowa said Monday a Nebraska man was sentenced Friday to 15 months in prison for being an illegal user of drugs while in possession of a firearm and ammunition. Attorney Nicholas A. Kleinfeld said that Judge James E. Gritzner also ordered 26-year-old Eric Stephen Blevins of Norfolk, Nebraska, to serve 2 years of supervised release following his imprisonment and pay a $100 penalty to the Crime Victim Fund. Blevins' pistol and ammunition were also seized. He remains in custody of the United States Marshal's Office pending designation of the Federal Bureau of Prisons facility at which he will serve his sentence. Kleinfeld says on January 26th of this year, the federal grand jury returned a one-count indictment against Blevins, charging him with being an unlawful user of marijuana while in possession of a 9mm pistol and ammunition. The charges were filed against him after Council Bluffs police officers found Blevins and another person at a Council Bluffs motel with marijuana and K2, a synthetic marijuana, on October 3rd of 2010. Outside of the window of the motel room which Blevins was staying, officers found an unloaded 9mm pistol and ammo. A subsequent investigation by the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives further linked the firearm and ammunition to Blevins and demonstrated that he had a history of use of marijuana, including on or about October 3, 2010. Blevins entered a guilty plea to the charge on June 30th of 2011. The case against him was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa and investigated by the Council Bluffs Police Department and the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. News time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
A smoldering ember from a controlled burn was the apparent cause of a fire early this morning about 4 miles west of Atlantic that destroyed a machine shed on the Dave and Lynn Eccles farm. The fire at 57899 Indian Creek Street was reported by Lynn Eccles at around 2:25 a.m. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese told KJAN News that the structure, which was basically a pole barn with metal sides, formerly used as a hog farrowing house, was fully engulfed in flames when firefighters arrived.
It had some contents in it that nothing major-wise, dollar-wise on it, but pretty close to the house, and it had three propane tanks right next to it that they had just had filled a couple of weeks ago, so that was our biggest main concern.
McNeese said it appears the fire was accidental in nature.
It looks to be that they had been burning in a great area in a pit, a controlled one. Anyway, some little bit of leaves and stuff earlier in the afternoon, and looks like a spark had jumped into another pile along a dog's fence and then got into some compost and then, you know, dry wood inside those old buildings. Why it got underneath, and from where we can see the charring and everything, so looks like it was accidental.
No injuries were reported, and firefighters were on the scene for a little over 2 hours. The fire department was also called out to a ditch fire Monday afternoon southwest of Atlantic. It's not clear how that blaze started. Humidifiers have been running almost nonstop for weeks, as one of Iowa's driest Octobers in more than 20 years is now over. State climatologist Harry Hilliker says the month that just ended saw very little rainfall. And it wasn't a record breaker by any means.
The driest one actually is kind of a class all by itself, way back October 1952, where most of the state had no rain whatsoever and had a statewide average just 2 hundredths of an inch for the month. And that's our driest calendar month of any month of the year, not just for October.
Here in Atlantic, we received just 21 hundredths of an inch of rainfall during the month of October. The normal average is 2.54 inches. While the official state numbers are still being tabulated, this October saw a statewide average of between 3/4 of an inch and 8/10 of an inch of rain, which will rank it around the 10th driest Iowa October on record. It was the driest October since 1988, when we averaged about 2/3 of an inch of rain statewide. Hilliker said the just-ended month was also warmer than usual.
The month's going to average out about 3 degrees warmer than normal. Actually got off to a rather cold start. We had an unusually cold September. First couple of days in October, well below normal as well. And a little bit of cold weather mixed in here and there, especially over the last week or two, but most days above normal.
The average high for October in Atlantic was 68.5 degrees, which was slightly warmer than the normal average of 65.7. Our average low was 35.9, and that was slightly cooler than the normal average of 38.1. As for the month ahead, Hilliker says November may follow suit, at least as far as warmth.
November, historically, when we're in a La Nina weather pattern, as we are right now, has actually quite strong odds of being warmer than usual. Just a teeny bit of a tendency to be on the dry side of normal as well.
Based on the forecast, though, he says Iowa may see rain showers as soon as tomorrow, with an even larger storm front possibly moving over the state this weekend. The fall harvest in Iowa is nearly complete, and many farmers are turning to fall tillage and fertilizer application. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey released his weekly update on the condition of Iowa's crops Monday, saying another week of mostly dry weather has helped the farmers nearly finish the harvest. About 87% of the state's corn crop has been harvested, and 98% of the soybeans have been harvested. Both are behind last year, but ahead of the five-year average. Northey said the lack of moisture is a concern, with many livestock farmers being forced to start feeding hay earlier than normal because of poor pasture conditions. He also says many farmers are worried about hard, dry soil as cooler weather sets in. A three-mile stretch of Interstate 680 in Pottawatomie County will reopen to traffic tomorrow. That's nearly 5 months after being closed by the Missouri River floodwaters. Iowa Department of Transportation spokesperson Dina Gray Fisher said the floodwaters, which finally receded in September, turned that roadway into rubble.
It left really the concrete just in shambles. It destroyed a lot of the roadway grade and really resulted in the need to do a total replacement of the roadway.
Contractors started construction on the project September 28th and worked 24 hours a day at times. The roadway is now opening several weeks earlier than planned.
We're very fortunate that the weather has been very good this fall, and that has allowed for the work to progress so fastly.
A Federal Highway Administration Emergency Relief Program is paying for the $19 million project. The summer's flooding in western Iowa has also forced the rebuilding of Interstate 29, U.S. Highway 30, and State Highways 2, 175, and 333. The I-680 reopening completes the flood rebuilding work on Iowa's interstates.
And we did have 67 miles of interstate closed at one point during the flooding. We do have another roadway segment that we want to get open this year, and that is Iowa 175 between Decatur, Nebraska, and Onawa, Iowa, and also a small segment going into Hamburg on Iowa 333.
The grand reopening ceremony for I-680 is scheduled for 1 o'clock tomorrow. Some of the participants in that ceremony will include Governor Branstad, USDOT Federal Highway Administration Administrator Victor Mendez, and the mayors of Omaha and Council Bluffs. The program will include a ceremonial relinking of Iowa and Nebraska. And by the way, the Iowa DOT has put a time-lapsed video of the rebuilding of that roadway from September 30th to October 25th on its website, plus a collection of photographs of the flooding and rebuilding on other highways, including I-29. The video and photographs are available at www.iowadot.gov/floods. There's a link to that site on our news page on KJAN.com under that same story. Taking a look at world news headlines of this hour, U.S. stocks are expected to open lower this morning following world markets, which have been plunging today. Dow and S&P futures are down after the Prime Minister of Greece called for a referendum on the country's latest rescue package. The vote would threaten a comprehensive plan to resolve the European debt crisis that was reached just last week. Syria is planting landmines along the border with Lebanon as refugees leave the country to escape the crackdown on anti-government protests. More than 5,000 Syrians have fled to Lebanon since the crisis began in March, but a Syrian official said the landmines are to prevent arms smuggling. Officials in Washington state say a man accused of stabbing to death his girlfriend and running off with their 9-month-old daughter has surrendered to authorities, and the baby is safe. Pierce County, Washington Sheriff say that Joseph Andrew Lester fled with the baby Monday and left the woman's 2-year-old son unharmed in her home in University Place. And 10 people have been rushed to the hospital in Meriden, Connecticut after being exposed to carbon monoxide. 6 of the victims are children. A local television station said firefighters had to break down the doors early this morning and wake people up after receiving a report of a child having a seizure. Officials say the seizure was a side effect of the carbon monoxide poisoning. A generator was found operating in the basement of that residence. News time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
In our funeral announcements, Terry Buckner, age 63 of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Terry Buckner will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Jeff Allen Quist, age 34 of Harlan, died Friday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Jeff Quist will be held Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Tawny Joe Lockery Stetzel, age 44 of Guthrie Center, died Sunday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Tawny Joe Stetzel will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Jim Muherder, age 64 of Atlantic, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Jim Muherder will be held on Thursday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dale Fazell, age 84 of Bridgewater, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Dale Fazell will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Alberta Parker, age 85 of Panora and formerly of the Jamaica and Dawson areas, died Thursday at Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. No services are planned for Alberta Parker. The Twig Funeral Home in Panora is in charge of arrangements. Our news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.